Always good to see a new face and meet new people, and hope that you're all doing well. We're going to look at the first five verses of Galatians chapter 1. It's good to be back from vacation. We were gone this last weekend, and we had a good time and got rested, and it's just good to be back. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 1, and the title of the message this morning, what I'd like to speak to you about, is the fact that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And we'll go through some of the background of Galatians and who Paul is writing to and what it's all about, but we'll look at the first five verses. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings toward us. We thank you for your love and your grace toward us, Father. We're thankful, Father, that you've been merciful to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and open up our eyes and help us to see what you'd want us to learn from the text. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be upon you this morning, that we'd trust you in everything, Father. Many times we're prone not to. Many times we're prone to look at ourselves or look at something else, Father, and our faith falls by the wayside and it crumbles because it is in something that it shouldn't be. I pray that our faith is in you this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and help us to learn something and be edified and built up in the faith. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll read the first five verses. And of course, Paul is the human author of the epistle, and he's writing to the churches at Galatia. He says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is writing to the churches at Galatia because there have been false teachers who have come in and crept into the congregation and the assemblies of their churches, and they were adding something to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were saying that Jesus Christ, only faith in him and in him alone, is not good enough to save. You have to add something to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that the theme, if you wanted to boil it down, the theme of the book of Galatians is the title of the message. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. I read a quote the other day from someone who said, Jesus does not have what you need. Jesus is what you need. Jesus is what we need, and I want you to know here this morning that Jesus is enough. We are so inclined, especially in our society and our context, and this is just human nature. I think we are hardwired to want more. We're always wanting something else. We're always wanting to accomplish or to possess a little bit more. We're never satisfied with what we have, what God's given to us, what we have in our possession. I believe that even if we gained the entire world, that wouldn't be enough. We'd want something else. If we had the whole world, we'd want Mars. We'd want the moon. We'd want something. It's just not enough. We are insatiable people. We always want more. And as I said, that's what these false teachers were bringing to the converts at Galatia. They were saying, hey, Jesus isn't enough. You got to do something. You got to add something to what Jesus Christ has already done. They were infiltrating the churches, and they were teaching these believers that Paul, by the way, had won to the Lord, and they were saying, hey, You're not good enough to be saved. You're not good enough to have eternal life. You got to do something else. You got to become a Jew. We call these people Judaizers. Say, hey, you have to convert to the Jewish religion, assimilate with the Jews. You have to keep the law of Moses. You have to be circumcised. You have to add these things to you and to your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not enough. It's not Jesus Christ alone. You must add something to what Jesus Christ has already done. You have to fulfill the old covenant, the old Mosaic covenant, the old Abrahamic covenant. You have to enter into that covenant, and you have to be circumcised. You have to do all of these things. And if you wanted to read a full description of what's going on here, you'd go to Acts chapter number 15. There was a council convened. All the leaders of the church at Jerusalem convened and discussed this very topic that the whole book of Galatians is written about. And what was their conclusion at the end of their council? Their conclusion was that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone, apart from any good works that anyone could add. It's only by faith. In other words, Jesus Christ is enough. That's still going on today. People still come up to you and say, hey, Jesus Christ isn't enough. You have to be a good person. You have to do good works. You have to be baptized. You have to add something to your salvation. Now, there's a time and a place for all of those things, but as far as salvation is concerned, Jesus is enough. And these Judaizers, they were coming in and they were questioning Paul. They were questioning who he was, questioning his apostleship, saying, hey, are you really an apostle? Are you really who you say you are? Are you really a messenger of God? We don't think that you're really legit, if I could use some slang of today. By the way, I don't usually use that word a lot, but you're not legitimate. You're not really an apostle. They were questioning that, questioning his person. They were questioning his message about his preaching of Jesus Christ. They were saying, hey, that message is no good. It's watered down. It's not just Jesus Christ. It's not just that gospel. We need to add something to that gospel. And by the way, verses down there say, hey, that's a perverted gospel, Paul says. Questioning his preaching and his gospel. They were questioning his liberty in Christ. They're saying, you think that you can go around and say that you're right with God and that you're saved and that you're a child of God without entering into this old covenant from the Old Testament. You're saying that you can do that and you actually have that kind of liberty? That you actually have the righteousness of God without doing any kind of works based upon the blood atonement of Jesus Christ? You believe that? Well, that's insane. You think you have that kind of liberty? I tell you something here today. We have that liberty as children of God. We have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ without works. Jesus Christ is enough. And by the way, Paul did not use empirical evidences to establish his ministry that he had. He said, hey, Jesus Christ called me and he's enough. He's enough. Did you know that Jesus Christ was enough for the creation of the world? The Bible says that God created the world through the Word of God. Who is that Word? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. Amen. Did you know that he didn't need my help to create this big ball of dirt that we're sitting on? Yeah. He didn't need my help to create Adam and Eve. Amen. He didn't need my help to create the stars and the moon and all these things. It was simply by Jesus Christ that God made the world. Amen. Jesus Christ is enough. He's enough. We need nothing else but Jesus Christ. And when I say that we need nothing but Christ, I'm saying that we need nothing but the grace and the mercy and the peace that comes through Jesus Christ. All grace, all mercy comes through Jesus Christ and nothing else. Amen. Does not come from your good works or my good works or the fact that I'm a good person or that you're a good person. Amen. The grace that comes from God must be dispensed through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is enough. He's enough. Boy, that might hurt our pride sometimes. That might say, well, I've got to add something. But we don't. We can't. If we do, we will taint that grace. We will frustrate the grace that comes through Christ. I want to give you three needs and imperatives for which Jesus Christ is enough. Number one, Jesus Christ is enough for salvation. Number two, Jesus Christ is enough for service. Number three, Jesus Christ is enough for sacrifice. Did you know that God has called us to salvation? If you're not saved here today, He's calling you to salvation. He's saying that you need to be saved. Jesus Christ is enough for salvation. Amen. We see in verse number 3, Paul says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins." Amen. He's saying, all of these Judaizers and false teachers are lying to you. Jesus Christ gave His life for all of your sins. Amen. He's enough for salvation. There's nothing that you or I could do to atone for one single sin that we've ever committed in our life. Jesus Christ is enough for salvation. Salvation is a very broad term. It includes everything. It includes redemption. It includes redemption, salvation, justification, sanctification, glorification. It includes all of these things. Jesus Christ is enough for salvation. It includes everything. Every part of salvation, Jesus Christ is enough. Martin Luther, the great reformer, once visited a dying student laying on his deathbed. He was fixing to go into past this life and go into glory. Martin Luther said, "What are you going to take with you when you go to visit God because you're fixing to see Him?" That student said, "Everything that is good I'm taking with me to go and see God." This kind of shocked Martin Luther, and he says, "Well, what do you mean? You have nothing good to take to God." He says, "I shall take to God in heaven a penitent and humble heart sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ." That's all it takes. The blood of Jesus Christ. A humble and a repentant heart towards God. Because we have nothing to offer God for our sins. Jesus Christ is enough. His death is enough. Paul mentions the giving of the Son in verse number 4. Who gave Himself for our sins. His death is enough. The death of Christ is all we need for forgiveness of sins. His atoning death covers it all. No sin is left unforgiven or unaccounted for. They are all taken care of. The psalmist says in the Old Testament, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Amen. How far is that? It's infinity. There is no space in between the east and the west. If you go east, you'll keep going. You go west and you'll keep going. That's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. Amen. His death covers it all. It's enough for salvation. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3 that He by Himself purged our sins. Amen. By Himself. He didn't need my help and He didn't need your help. He did it Himself. Then the Bible says He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He's already taken care of it. Sins are purged and cleansed, expiated. Everything is taken care of. Everything. The cross was enough. There's nothing else we can do. His resurrection was enough. Verse 1 says that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. His resurrection is enough to prove that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. That's all I need. A man who's raised from the dead and God raised him from the dead, His resurrection is enough to prove that He will intercede for His church. A dead Savior can't save you. A dead man cannot intercede for you and on the behalf of God. He cannot. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He intercedes for us. That's good news. That's all we need. Jesus Christ is enough. The resurrection proves and shows and vindicates to us that Jesus Christ was a righteous man. He didn't stay in the grave. He's resurrected. He lives forevermore. He was righteous. He is not a mere man, but yes, he is the Son of God. He is who he claimed to be. Jesus Christ is enough. And the resurrection proves to us that the Christian faith and the Christian religion is the only true religion upon the face of the earth. That's why I believe in Christianity, because of the resurrection. Jesus Christ is enough. He does not need our help. As I said, he doesn't need our good works. He does not need our morals. He does not need any of these, our good intentions, any of those things. Our text that sits before us here this morning tells us that he gave us for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Why did he save you? To take you away from your sins. To deliver you from this present evil world. Sin damns the souls of men. Sin condemns man. Sin wrecks and ruins lives. Why did Jesus come? To save us from our sins. Amen. To save us from this present evil world. The book of Matthew tells us, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. What do we need? We need to be saved from our sins. We don't need pop psychology. We don't need more counseling from someone else. Counseling has its place. We don't need our sins justified. We don't need our sins to be made unshameful. Doesn't work. You know what takes the sin or the shame away from sin? Forgiveness. Forgiveness takes away that shame. Not justifying it. Not any of those things. We must be saved from our sins. God not only calls us to salvation, he also calls us to service. He's got something for us to do. Can I tell you here this morning that Jesus Christ is enough for service in his work? Read in verse number 1. He says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to serve the Lord. I am an apostle, and it's by Jesus Christ that I am an apostle. He says, it's by Jesus Christ that I serve him. What's an apostle? That's one who's sent. Sent to serve. And he says, it's by Jesus Christ that I serve him. The call of Christ was enough for Paul in his service to the Lord. Paul didn't need extra affirmation or authority from man. Jesus Christ was enough in service. He was enough. The revelation that he received, he got from Jesus Christ. He was not taught it by man. The gospel that he preached was from Jesus Christ. We read in verse number 12 of the same chapter, But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached after me was not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul attributed the message that he preached, his apostleship, his service, he attributed it to Jesus Christ. It was by the grace of God that he did what he did in his service. God has called us all to serve him. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ is enough for your service? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 to 10. You don't have to look at it. Paul says it was by the grace of God. He says, For I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not meet to be even be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm an apostle because of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He says, I labored and I worked harder than all of the rest of the disciples and apostles of Jesus Christ. But the grace of God, he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He says, hey, it wasn't me that was working. It was the grace of God working in me. Yeah. You're going to work for the Lord? You're going to serve Him? It's going to be by the grace of God. It comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is enough for service. You say, well, I'm not qualified. I don't have the talents. I don't have this. I don't have that. I can't speak. I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do any of these things. Did you know that there's only five qualifications for service to the Lord? And I bet each and every one of you have it. I know I do, abundantly. Okay? Now, D.L. Moody was preaching one time, and he says, God has five qualifications for service. You know what they are? Number one, God uses the weak things, the foolish things, the base things, the despised things, and the things which are not. Make you feel better? Say, hey, I think I can get that. Yeah, I'm weak. You know why? Because when we're weak, we need to look for someone to help us. And it's going to be by the grace of God. The weak things, the despised things. You know, when we lay aside ourselves and we say, hey, I'm not good enough, that's just exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for. Hey, okay, yeah, there's a humble man right there. I can use that woman. I can use that man. Yeah, I think we're all qualified. The grace of God is what makes the difference in service for Him. Jesus Christ is enough. So whatever God calls us to, He will also equip us to do through His grace. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 to 4 says, according to His divine power, He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have it through His divine power. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. He's called us to do some things. Okay. His divine power is going to equip us to do those things. Jesus Christ is enough for service. He's called us to live a holy and a righteous life. That's not always easy, is it? Especially not in our society. But we can be assured that the grace of God will be there for us no matter how hard it gets. Just like an arm cannot lift a feather or even its own weight without the muscle attached to it, so you and I cannot serve the Lord apart from the Holy Spirit and His working in us. It's all through Him. It's all through God. Book of Romans chapter number 8. It says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can't do it. Then he goes on to say, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We can, because we have the Holy Spirit. Service towards Him. God, Jesus Christ, is enough. A branch can't bear fruit without the root, can it? I spent some time trimming trees today. Or not today, of course. Of course, I would have been quick. I would have got up really early. You know, it wasn't today, it was yesterday. Cut some of those branches off. You know what's going to happen to those branches? They're going to dry up and wither away. They're not connected to the source anymore. You and I cannot bear fruit outside of God and outside of Jesus Christ. He's called the root and the offspring of David. He's the root. That's where we get our power from. Again, Galatians chapter number 5, same book. The fruit of the Spirit, joy, long-suffering, peace, goodness, all of those things come from the Holy Spirit. We can't serve God outside of Jesus Christ. He's enough. He's enough. So Jesus Christ is all we need for service. In that service that we're all called to, I bet you we're going to have to sacrifice a little bit. God calls us to sacrifice, doesn't He? Christians. As we've learned before, the Christian life is not some kind of cushy life. Everything is great and wonderful and happy all the time. No, there's times of sacrifice for the Christian. God calls you to salvation. He calls you to service, and He's going to call you to sacrifice. Most definitely. We study the life of Paul, and Paul sacrificed greatly for the Lord, more than you and I ever will. He sacrificed. He says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 17, he says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those were literal marks on his back and his face and his head that he took for preaching the gospel. And he says, it was the grace of God that got me through sacrifice for him. He was beaten with rods. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. He went without food or sleep. He traveled by ship all over the territory to spread the gospel. He didn't marry or raise children. He suffered a physical ailment, possibly with his eyes, that he asked the Lord three times, will you take this thorn in the flesh away from me? Will you take it? And Jesus Christ says, no, you're going to have to deal with it. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient through your sacrifice that you are making. He was finally beheaded for Christ by the cruel Roman Emperor Nero in AD 64. How's that for a success story for the Christian? That was the normal Christian experience in AD 64. So what happened to Christians? Nero used to take them and burn them at his parties for candlelights. That's what he used to do with Christians. We're called to sacrifice. Martyrs, millions of martyrs have died for their faith. They sacrificed. They gave the ultimate sacrifice. You know what got them through? The grace of God. It's their sacrifice. Got them through. It was enough. They didn't need anything else. God said, okay, that's enough. And they did it. You know, God may not call us to be a martyr. Although, in the United States, it's getting worse and worse. Could come. We don't know. But we're all called to sacrifice, aren't we? He calls all of us to sacrifice. There's not one Christian in this world or in the past that God has not asked for them to sacrifice. He calls us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You say, that's hard. That's hard. He calls us not to sin. He calls us to stay away from sin, repent, and live a clean life. That's hard. Why? Because we still have a sin nature. We still want to sin, don't we? Oh, doing wrong sometimes is a lot easier than doing right. Sometimes it's just a lot easier to follow your flesh and follow that lust or follow something else instead of doing right. It's a sacrifice. Sacrifice. But I believe that Jesus Christ is enough in those times of sacrifice. God calls us to support one another, to love our neighbors, to love our enemies, to forgive others. He calls us to do that. That's a sacrifice. It's a lot easier just to be self-centered and, you know, unforgiving, to hate our enemies and to curse them and to hold a grudge. Wasn't that a lot easier than putting aside your pride and doing what the Bible tells us to do? Isn't that a lot easier sometimes? That's a sacrifice. But I think that Jesus Christ is enough in those times of sacrifice. He's enough. God calls us to give back to Him. That's a sacrifice. Hey, I'm going to take money out of my wallet and I'm going to put it in the offering plate. I could use this for something else. He calls us to give money to support our church, to support missions. He calls us to do that. That's a sacrifice. Oh, I'd rather keep it. Man, I've got things I want to buy. I've got a new toy I want to buy. I've got this stuff, man. That's a sacrifice. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. I give. I understand. I could use the money that I give to the church to get me a new car. I got an old beat-up car. I couldn't do that. It's a sacrifice. But did you know what? I think Jesus Christ is enough to make it through that sacrifice. His grace will sustain us. Hey, if the grace of God sustained all of those people in the past who gave the ultimate sacrifice, and we're dealing with a beat-up car, or maybe they didn't get to go to McDonald's once that week or something like that. You know, big sacrifice we Americans make, right? You know, they gave their ultimate life. Well, they hid out in the hills. They froze to death, running away from persecution for their faith. And the grace of God sustained them. I think that the grace of God could sustain us through giving and all of that. Jesus is enough. He's enough. So if Jesus Christ is enough for my salvation and for service and for sacrifice, well, then how do I tap in to that? Well, of course, first you have to be saved. You have to be believing on Christ. But what you need to do and what you and I must do is we must lay aside yourself and all human wisdom and philosophy. Boy, that's a tough one for Americans, isn't it? Because we're all our own little philosophers, man. We've got our philosophy, man. This religion, Jesus Christ, this stuff just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I'm not willing to lay aside that. Well, then you're not going to tap into the power. You don't have that. Paul says in verse number one, he says, not of men, neither by man. He says, no one's telling me this except God. Did you know that Paul had the education? He was taught under the feet of Gamaliel. Man, that guy had the education. Oh, he had the pedigree. Man, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Boy, he had all everything that you could want, man. But he says, I count it all but dung so that I may win Christ. Amen. He threw it all away. If you and I want that, we have to put it aside. We have to say, hey, all this human wisdom that we have at our fingertips right here, smartphone, all of the human wisdom and all the human knowledge is right there at our fingertips. We have to say, no, Jesus Christ is enough. He's enough. We don't need that. So number one, we must lay all that stuff aside. And then number two, we must trust Jesus Christ in everything. It's by faith. It's by faith. Not everyone has the faith. His grace is going to carry us through all service and all sacrifice. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Amen. It's by faith. Amen. Simple. Paul again, same book, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. All of the things that he's going through. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that life that I'm living right now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It was by faith who loved me and gave himself for me. Why would you trust anybody else if you have a Savior who died for you and who loves you that much? Why would you? But yet we do it all the time. It's by faith. We can't live a life that's fruitful and pleasing to God outside of Jesus Christ. He told his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. We'll end with this. The writer of Hebrews says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible. You can't please God outside of faith. You can't. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, not you or anything else, must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking the Lord Jesus Christ today? Are you seeking him? Because he's enough. We don't need anything else. Nothing else. If you're not saved here today, if you have not been forgiven of your sins, then you ought to trust Jesus Christ because he is your only hope. You have nothing else to offer God. Absolutely nothing. You ought to turn to him right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.